turn with me to St. John chapter number 10, verses 1 through 10, and let's read, and then I'll let you be seated. St. John chapter 10, verse 1 through 10. If you have it, say amen. Amen. All right, let's read. Get my helper here. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him. But they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again. Everybody say again. Have you ever had to be told something twice? What part of no don't you understand? Huh? Been there and done that, huh? Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. Praise the Lord. Beautiful, beautiful passage of Scripture. And I've kind of wrestled a little bit with what to title this. I must tell you that I feel a burden on my heart tonight for this service and for what I feel. Even this afternoon, I thought, well, I'm not sure if I'm going to preach or teach, but I do know that I'm going to reach. Amen. Not sure what all is going to go on either end of that, but I am going to be reaching for somebody here tonight. I want to talk about the thief and the robber, but I do want to be positive too. Hard to be positive when you're talking about a thief or a robber. A lot of negative things to be said. But let's title this tonight, Paying the Dues. Paying the Dues. Amen. Let's ask the Lord to help us here tonight. Lord, we come to you once again thanking you for this opportunity that we have to join together at this hour, Lord, to open our hearts, our minds, and our ears to your word. I pray that you give us an ear to hear. Give us a heart to receive. Give us a heart of understanding. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we need you right now. We need your anointing. We need your divine direction and guidance. We need wisdom. We need understanding. Help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Jesus here has some strong words to say about those that do not enter into the sheepfold properly. Amen. He says that those that do not go through the door but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. I have a lot of feelings, very, very, very strong feelings tonight about the spirit and the religious world of our day, and the mannerisms and the tremendous power of deception that is at work in the lives and the hearts of people. And this week, it seems like the closer I came to tonight, I knew yesterday during the course of the day I would be coming over tonight. At least it was verified I would be coming. And just seems like the Lord began to deal with me about this. And the more he dealt with me, the more I began to think of particular things that have bothered me for a long time. Amen. And so, with the help of the Lord, I'm just going to kind of bare my soul here for a while. That'll be all right. It seems that there is a major push, an effort that's being made to show forth a tremendous amount of knowledge, understanding, great wisdom in the religious world today. Amen. There are many, many, many thousands of books that are written about every topic in the scripture. If you want to know about wisdom or knowledge or understanding or love, joy, peace, anything, any topic that you want to name in scripture, you're going to find it. Amen. In the bookstores and on the shelves, written by men who claim to be great men of God and those that have been enlightened. And I do not doubt that a lot of these men have great understanding, great knowledge about the Word of God. I don't take that from them. But I do find that in Scripture, that unless these men start off right, then they're not going to end up right. It doesn't matter how much a man knows. What really matters is where he has started from. The starting point is what really matters. Amen. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." Praise the Lord. We read further where he says that I am the door. And to get into the church, or as Jesus puts it, the sheepfold, you must go through Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Now, when he said, I am the door, and men have to come through me, what he is saying here is that I have a doctrine, and I have a teaching that must be adhered to, that must be followed, or it doesn't matter what you know or where you go. Praise the Lord. Something that the level of knowledge that you have determines your level of spirituality. I've got news for you. Your level of spirituality is determined by whether or not, first of all, you have repented of your sins, you have been baptized in Jesus' name, and you have been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That, my friend, is where it all starts. Jesus' doctrine, Jesus' gospel, was death, burial, and resurrection. Praise the Lord. And the only way to get into the sheepfold is to go through Jesus Christ, praise the Lord, and to follow in his footsteps. He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So we know that if we are going to go through Christ, if we're going to enter the proper way, it's going to be through the death, through the burial, and through the resurrection, which we know, of course, to be repentance, water baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Now, I am not an avid reader. I do read. I read because I have to read. I don't read because I love to read. I read because I have to read. It just goes with the territory. Amen. But I will tell you this. I have a hard time reading books that are not written by apostolic, one God, Jesus name writers. Well, praise the Lord. And I'm not saying that all the writers out there are wrong. Praise the Lord. And again, just allow me to, if I mess anything up, your pastor will come and he'll straighten it out. Praise the Lord. But I have a hard time getting into listening to a man that's talking about a subject when I know as good as I know my name, he's a thief and a robber. He has not come in by the door. He has not followed the basic doctrines of Scripture, the doctrine of death, burial, and resurrection. And it's just, I guess you would have to call it a pet peeve of mine. I just have a hard time doing it. There are men that are very knowledgeable on subjects of the Bible. They have studied them in depth and they have put a lot of effort into them. And it's good writing. And you can glean things from them. I will just kind of throw this in for good measure. Before you read any books, you need to check with Pastor Bass and make sure that the writers, because a lot of them are going to interject things in there that just makes me mad. It just does, folks. I'm sorry. Yeah, I've read books where you just reading along down through there and, boy, I'm just enjoying it. All of a sudden, they start talking about God the Father and God the Son and His Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the third person in the Trinity, and I just get all out of sorts. It just aggravates me. I lose interest. I have so many times just closed books and threw them on the counter. And I said, I ain't reading no more of that book. Because they don't really know what they're talking about anyway. Praise the Lord. That's just me. It's just my feelings, but it's just the way it is. Well, praise the Lord. And so we understand here again that Jesus is making the very profound statement that those that haven't come in through the door are those that are trying to be promoted and trying to get a step ahead when they have not really and truly paid their dues. They have not done what the Scripture requires of us to do. Praise the Lord. And Jesus says they are a thief and a robber. And we're going to talk about that quite a bit here tonight. Now, under the law, Exodus 22, 1 through 2, it says here, if a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep. In other words, if you're caught, if it's found out that you have stole something, there is a price to pay for stealing somebody's sheep or stealing their ox. Verse 2, he said, if a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. Now, the translation of this is, if a thief is caught breaking into your house and you take a 357 or a ball bat and you put that fella into eternity. Now, this is under the law now. It's Exodus 22 and 1 through 2. This is under the law. If you catch that rascal coming through and you knock him out for eternity, it's not going to be held against you. What the Lord is establishing here is I have no use for a thief. Well, praise the Lord. Now, I'm just going to cut right to the chase, and then we're going to try to follow it up with a few things here. You see, the attitude of a thief and the spirit of a thief is not to give. It's to take or to get. Their whole focus. You see, somebody that's honest, everything they do, if they have an honest heart, everything they do, everywhere they turn, every business deal, the first thing comes to their mind, is this ethical? Am I doing this right? Am I being honest? You got an honest heart, that's the first thing that'll come to your mind. Am I doing an honest business transaction here? An honest person will make sure that things are divvied out right and things are done proper and things are done in order and everything is kept on the up and up. But somebody that doesn't have an honest heart, somebody that is a thief at heart, everything that takes place, everything that happens, the first thing comes to their mind is, what do I get out of it? What's in it for me? Well, praise the Lord. And furthermore, they want to receive without giving. I want to ask you a question. How many of you have worked on a job, regardless of where it is, and somebody got promoted and you knew as good as you knew your name, they didn't deserve it? Ever known somebody like that? Well, how did they get promoted? Especially when they were promoted above you. How did that happen? They ain't paid their dues. Has that happened to anybody around here? What's going on around here? This rascal just started 3 months ago. I've been here 12 years. Without me around here, this company would shut down tomorrow. And now they're telling me what to do. It's getting real quiet around here all of a sudden. Praise the Lord. There's something about when somebody has earned it. Everybody can accept it. Well, praise the Lord. But when they ain't earned it, feathers start getting ruffled. What's going on around here? The problem is, it's a spirit of the thief and the robber. That's why you don't like it. It's the same spirit. Because somebody is getting without having given. Oh, praise the Lord. Now, the spirit of the day, this is all about the spirit of the day. It's all about what can I get, what can I receive without having to do nothing for it. Now, don't tell me that ain't right, because that is right. So you know that's right. Hallelujah. Everybody wants everything for nothing. It's the spirit of the thief. And that's a fact. Job said, the murderer rising with the light killeth the poor and needy. And in the night is as a thief. Solomon said, Proverbs 29:24, whoso is partner with the thief hateth his own soul. You see, you may not altogether be a thief, but if you ain't careful, you'll be caught running with thieves. Got to be careful who you hang out with. Got to be careful who you chum with. Well, praise the Lord. There's a lot of religious circles today that believe in worship, praise, and a whole lot of other things. And I'm sorry, folks, but this is one of them negative parts of it. But they ain't got no Holy Ghost to go with it. You see, Jesus gave. He said, I've come that you might have life. I've come to give with a chance of getting nothing in return for it. He had no guarantee. He simply said, I've come to give. I didn't come to take. I didn't come to receive. I've come to give. You know, the only time in Scripture that I can find that Jesus got all riled up, he just got all beside himself, was when he went into the temple and there were money changers there. They were buying and selling. You know why I believe he got upset? It was because these people were doing everything they could to benefit themselves. It was not, the temple was all about giving. The temple was about bringing a sacrifice and giving it to God. But here these people were money changers. They were in there buying and selling and trading and doing all, trying to benefit themselves. And Jesus said, you've got the wrong idea about this thing. My house shall be called a house of prayer. Prayer is, we know, is going to God, giving to God, supplication, thanksgiving. Praise the Lord. You've made it a den of thieves. You have turned the whole thing around here. You have messed everything up. And I'm going to tell you, folks, he cleaned the house out. He said, this ain't going to happen around here. Kind of like sometimes the preacher gets up and says, we ain't give nothing around here tonight. It's time to give something. What he's talking about is, everybody's, here I am. Feed me. I'm hungry. Everybody in this place is guilty of being that way at some time or another, including myself. You want to receive, but you don't want to give nothing. Is that right? Lord, every time we kneel to pray, Lord, I need, Lord, I need, Lord, I need. Give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. Now, in Malachi, hit this while I'm on it. Will a man rob God? He said, yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. You know what the Lord is saying here? He's saying, you want my protection. You want my blessings. Praise the Lord, somebody. He said, you want me to give you, but you ain't wanting to give me nothing. You know, we tell you why tithing is so important. Tithing, the attitude and the spirit of tithing is, okay, I've been given this. I'm going to cut that 10% out, and I'm going to first give that to God. It's truth. I'm trying to say all this in love. Preacher said, I say all this in love. I love to say it. Tithing works, folks. Tithing works. You may tell you why it works. Because it's given God first. Right off the top. The beauty of it is he said, I'll bless the rest of it. But I can't bless it if you don't give me first. Because I'm not going to have no dealings with a thief and a robber. You got to learn to give before I can bless you and protect you. David said, Psalms 116, what shall I render to Jesus? David's attitude was all about, what can I give God? What can I do for God? Saul's attitude was, make me look good. Praise the Lord. Let the light shine on me. David said, I ain't interested in no light. What can I do for God? Cool. Put my name on that? No, just kidding. What shall I render to Jesus? He's done so much for me. You know, I was talking the other night about the power of remembrance, remembering things. It's so easy to forget what God's done for us. Praise the Lord. So easy to be in just in somewhere back in our memories. I like it. Remembering God's done. David never forgot. All he could think of was, I've got to give to God. I've got to find a way. I've got to. And then because of his attitude of giving, look at Solomon. It's amazing how it passes down from one generation to another. It takes a lot for a young man to break the trend. I hesitate to say this, but I have a young man in our church now that is putting forth an effort, doing all he can to break a trend, to go against the tide. That when the family left the church, he stood up and said, y'all can leave, but I'm staying. You can float from one place to another and not have any roots and not be settled, but that's not the way I'm going to live my life. He said, Brother Bass is my pastor, and True Life is my church. And he said, I'm going to give everything I've got to that church. Praise the Lord. That's not trying to cast anybody in a bad light. I'm just telling you the truth, just what's happened. But it's a tough thing. The young man's fighting a tremendous battle, just trying to keep his shoulder squared and go against the tide. Because for generations, that's the way it's been. But it's amazing how that when a man is living for God and giving his all, it's amazing how easy it is for the children to follow suit. I thank God consistently for my heritage. That Elder J.T. Bass paved the way. He gave of himself. He didn't just give his money, but he gave his body. He gave his time. He gave everything he had. And his body today, as all of you know, suffers from the effects of living a life of intense pressure. That's why things are the way they are in his life today. It's living under tremendous stress, tremendous pressure. Unfortunately, he didn't die 10 years ago for his sake. Because his body living under that pressure can only take it so long. It reaches a point where it just starts falling apart. But he gave himself. And he made it easy for me. And you as fathers, you can make it easy on your children. Learning how to give. Learning. Now I'm not talking about just your money, but giving your life. Giving everything you've got. What better thing can you invest yourself in than the work of God? When people on every hand are entering over the walls, tunneling under, and they are stealing from the church. The charismatics have gotten their worship from the true apostolic church. That's where they learn to worship. But the problem is they refuse to go through the process of death, burial, and resurrection. You know why they won't do that? Because to do that, you've got to give yourself. You have to deny yourself. The first thing you have to do in repentance is you've got to die out to your will. That's the first step. Thief and a robber says, I don't want to have to do that. I don't want to give. Lord, you give it to me and then I'll give you. No, you're a thief and a robber. But a man that realizes he can't make it without God, he'll be willing to give everything. Lord, I'm willing to die. You know, as I look across this congregation, I see men and even young men. Some of you folks, you don't realize how much you mean to me. I remember when Brother Paul Potts walked right up here to the platform and he said, I want the Holy Ghost. I remember just like it was yesterday. Here he is, married, got children. You know what he's doing? He's teaching them how not to be a thief and a robber. How to give. And I'm not just picking him out. There's others in the church. I could name a bunch of you. How that you've learned that, you know what? I've got to go through the door. I've got to give of myself. I've got to humble myself down. I've got to crucify this flesh. That's giving of yourself. And then learning how to give of your finances. That's such an important thing. It is such an important thing. Learning how to give. Learning the beauty of giving. You know, if everybody would give, and maybe I'm walking on a little shaky ground here, but it's just the way I believe it. If everybody would do their part, there would not be a need. I am 100% persuaded because God said he would provide all of our need. And if everybody was doing their part, yeah, but our part just don't add it to be enough. I'm going to tell you something. God can take the little bit and multiply it. And if everybody has a spirit of giving, not taking away. I don't associate myself with many people. I don't try. If I know people somebody don't pay their tithes, I don't associate myself in no way with them. In business or anything else. Let me tell you why. Because they're going to be cursed. You know why? Because they're a thief and a robber. God ain't going to bless them. I said, God ain't going to bless them. And I don't want to be attached to that. I told my son, we work together in business up in our area. I sat him down one day and I said, I just want to tell you something, son. We had a good heart-to-heart discussion that day. And I said, the minute that you decide you don't want to live for God, and you don't want to walk in the ways of righteousness and holiness, and you don't want to pay your tithes and be faithful to church, I'll tell you now, you're on your own. Because I ain't even going to think about carrying you. Because if I'm attached to you, the curse that's put on you is going to be, it's going to come to me. Praise the Lord, somebody. Thank God he's made the choice. He's going to live for God. And he's going to, and he is. Thank God for that. But I meant what I said. Because I understand if with that connection there, I shudder at times when I hear of people who are linked up with unbelievers. Because God doesn't smile on a thief or a robber. A lot of things I could say here. I don't want to go much longer here. But Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to steal. We know what to steal means. Take what does not belong to you. To kill. To render lifeless. This word destroy. When I did a little research on that, I kind of hit home. Because this word destroy means to render useless. Think about it. The thief cometh not but to kill, steal, or to render useless. He comes and he pillages and he wreaks havoc. When he leaves, there's nothing to work with. You're rendered useless. This is why I say we have to be careful who we associate with. Because a thief, the only thing he's got on his mind is, what can I take? What can better me? I just want to tell you, folks, when you give to God, you ain't got to worry about nothing else. He said, consider the lilies. Consider the sparrow. Praise the Lord. I'm going to take care of my own. The ones that come through the door, the ones that get into the sheepfold and they follow me and they're led by me. They won't have nothing to worry about. First Corinthians 6 and 10, read a couple of verses of scripture and I'll begin to close here. Beginning of verse 9, Paul writing, he said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves or of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. I want to do my part in the kingdom of God. I want to start right, and then I want to walk down the right path. Because if you do, and if I do, we'll wind up in the right place. But without that, we're going to be lost. I don't want to have the attitude, I don't want to have the spirit of what's in it for me. What can I have? What can I gain from this? You know, some people come to God and their attitude is, how will this benefit me? Some people come to God, think they're coming to God. The only thing on their mind is a position. Praise the Lord. Want a position. Want to be placed. Want to be used. They want to be on the platform before they ever even hit the altar. Amen. I've had people come tell me straight up. One man came up to me and said, I just want you to know I got a dirty bass. I thought to myself, well, if you'd clean it up just a little bit, we might could use it. He wanted to sing, brother. He never had even knelt at the altar. I've had others come and instruct me of a few things and never prayed, had never shed a tear. They got the spirit of a thief and a robber. But someone that doesn't want to be associated with that, they'll look for the door. For too many people, they just don't want to get up and go to the door. They want the easy route. Amen? Jesus said, you got to come through the door. I want to pay my dues. I want to do what I need to do. I want to carry my responsibilities, my duties, my obligations to the church, to God, to the man of God. Amen. I don't want to have the spirit, the attitude of the thief and the robber. Let's all stand together tonight. You know, repentance is so, it's such a simple thing. It's just simply asking God to forgive you of your sins, things you've done wrong, and then not doing them anymore. That's repentance. It's as simple as that. Or it's asking God to forgive you, and then you start doing some things. That's repentance. You know what? I feel like tonight it probably would do us all some good to do some repenting here tonight. And say, Lord, there's some things I hadn't been doing as much as I should have. And some of you may need to say, Lord, there's some things I've been doing I shouldn't be doing. But whatever the case may be, I think it'd be good. Because I just want to tell you, folks, I truly believe the Lord put this on my heart for this service tonight. And confirmation came more than once. I felt the Holy Ghost when I walked in the back doors tonight. No doubt in my mind. You know what? Our utmost desire should be to be saved. God, whatever I must do to be saved. And you know, if there's just even a question, why don't you just step out on obedience and say, I need to give of myself more. I need to involve myself more in worship. I need to praise God more. I need to get more involved in the day-to-day upkeep of the church and be used in whatever capacity that I'm asked to be used in. I want to make myself available. I want to give myself. That's the attitude of someone that wants to pay their due. Somebody said, salvation's free, won't cost you nothing. They don't know what they're talking about. Salvation will cost you everything. Won't cost you your life. You got to give everything. Praise the Lord. You got to be willing to surrender all, to give everything. Lord, I give myself to you. Lord, I surrender all to you. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to give you some things in advance before Wednesday night, so when I get there, I'm not walking in asking for withdrawal when I haven't made a deposit. Give some things. Some folks don't give nothing, but yet they want to withdraw. You know what? The bank I deal with, they don't allow much of that. Hadn't had to try it yet, but hopefully I don't have to. They don't put up with it. You don't pull it out unless you put it in. And if we're not giving of ourselves, how can we ask anything of God? How many times do we come to God asking God for things when we've given nothing? Just think about it. It's something to think of. I normally don't do this, but I just like to ask tonight to everybody that's able to just don't have to move to the front, but at least take a few moments. And let's do a heart check. Let's make sure we're not trying to get without first taking care of what we need to be doing. Giving of ourselves. I'm glad the Lord didn't stand up and say, I've got to have some guarantees around here. I've got to have some promises. Make sure what I'm fixing to give, I'll get. I'm glad he just said, I'm just going to give my life. He said, nobody's taking my life. I'm just going to give it. And if anybody will take advantage of that, they can be saved. The only way you can be saved is if you too will give everything you've got. We love him together right now.